First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and we start, as we always do, with headlines you need to know. And the headlines right now, many of them are about opt-outs at this point. We've been waiting to see the NFL list of players that have decided that they aren't comfortable playing in COVID-19 in these situations, and we are starting to get those names. Many of them are big names, as the Patriots are dealing now with, it looks like, up to six players, or at least six players, I should say, that have decided to opt out. Dont'a Hightower, Patrick Chung being among the starters that have opted out of the 2020 season. Running back Brandon Bolden also on that list. Starting offensive tackle Marcus Cannon. I mean, the list is pretty severe for the Patriots as they look at players that have decided to opt out. That they aren't the only team that is dealing with it, though, as the fallout will continue, I should say, across the league. Also, it looks like a couple of other big names coming out that won't be a part of it. Bears starting lineman Eddie Goldman has opted out of the 2020 season for the same reason, due to health concerns related to COVID-19. So NFL media first reported the news. He's 26. He's been a big part of their D-line since he came into the league back in 2015. So he's been referred to as an anchor of the line. At this point, he's decided not to put himself at any risk with COVID-19. I think, guys, we're going to be seeing more and more of this over the next few days. Obviously, all eyes continue to be on the Marlins. In your next headline, as we know that four more Marlins have tested positive for coronavirus. That takes the total number to 17 people that have tested positive in the past 5 days. On Monday, the total of confirmed cases stood at 11 players and two coaches. So that continues to rise. The majority of Washington National players have voted against traveling to Miami for this weekend's three-game series against the Marlins. Sources have confirmed to ESPN. However, the decision on whether the games are played rests with Major League Baseball, not the Nationals. So we could be looking at another stare down as we try and figure out if the players aren't comfortable going to Miami to play against the Marlins. What does it mean, and how do they get anything moving forward? And we end the headlines with some fun news, Major League Baseball ownership news. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, now a part owner of the Royals. So the Chiefs, an obviously reigning Super Bowl MVP, has now become a member of the new ownership group of the Kansas City Royals. The Royals announced Mahomes' partial ownership Tuesday, noting that he, quote, spent a lot of time in clubhouses as a kid. He's obviously the son of former Major League pitcher Pat Mahomes. So, look at this. Mahomes now not only is one of the best players in the league, he's also an owner. Those are your headlines. And that's we'll get into a little bit of Straight Talk. Don't forget, we're covering all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers. Only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at StraightTalk.com. The Straight Talk came in the form of the headlines with opt-outs. And I want your take on this. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? I'm going to have a little fun. You make the case for who you think can't afford to have their best player opt out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Not an easy answer to this one, because remember, last season, obviously Patrick Mahomes missed some time with the Chiefs. They still won some football games. So even though I believe that Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, I'm not sure that the Chiefs fall apart without him. So I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, with the concept of opt-outs, I think it's important to remind everybody that these players are human. And before we get into any conversation, any of First Take, I want to at least put this out there, because I've seen so much whataboutism and so many people on Twitter, social media in general, coming out and saying, you know, things that are negative about players that have decided to opt out. Let me stress this. Every player is an entrepreneur. So if a player is an entrepreneur, they run their own business. How do they market themselves as a player? Who can they be as a player? If a player is a small business owner, is an entrepreneur, he is his business. If that player has gotten himself to the point as an entrepreneur that he can take a season off with no pay, to me, that's something that we got to look at and say, man, you're doing really well. Like, congratulations for having that opportunity. I understand not all of us, myself included, could ever conceive of taking a year with no pay. And so it's easy to turn around and say, well, you know, these millionaires are out there and they don't want to play. In the meantime, I have to go to my job. Cool. I understand that. I wish everybody could make the decision based solely on safety. Unfortunately, not everybody can. So with that being said, why are we trashing people that have been so incredibly successful that they can simply choose to not play the game for a year? Also, Think about what players are deciding. They have a limited time they're going to earn. They have a limited time they can be around the sport that they love. So it's a very serious and deep conversation, and a deep mental portion of this has to be considered for athletes that decide not to play. I, for one, am going to look at any player that decides that they're not going to be a part of the sport that they've loved for a year and tip the hat and say congratulations on being able to make the decision you think is best for you and your family, and congratulations on being at a spot where you can afford to live and you don't need the paychecks for a year. Awesome. That's the way I see it. But I want your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? So, obviously, the opt-outs are leading to cancellations, and this is not an easy situation for Major League Baseball as they try and figure out how to handle Major League Baseball games being canceled. To that end, it was a great debate today on First Take with a couple of interesting debaters. Max Kellerman was joined by my guy Freddie Coleman, who went out there and crushed it today, and Eduardo Perez, as they talked about Major League Baseball games being canceled.
This is scaring the living daylights of a lot of coaches, of a lot of players, no doubt. No doubt. And I expect most of the players, most of the major league players now to be wearing masks when they're on the bases, when they're playing defense in the infield. Didi Gregorius has been doing it from day one. He has an underlying condition. Eduardo Rodriguez right now with the Boston Red Sox is trying to figure out how much, when he tested positive, it affected his heart, because he's not out there right now. This also not only affects the elderly, but it affects the young, and it could be a lifetime situation. Something that players have to take in regard. Now, as far as the Marlins, there's no way I'm stepping on a field against the Miami Marlins if I'm not wearing a mask and if they're not wearing masks. So if I'm the Baltimore Orioles and I'm about to face in Camden Yards, if it's tomorrow, the Miami Marlins, I'm wearing a mask against them. I'm wearing a mask against any team that I'm playing against. It is protocol. And as far as Freddie, you saying humans are going to do what humans do, you know what? In Korea, because I covered the KBO for 34 games, 12 weeks total, I counted every single one of them, I'm telling you this, they were wearing the mask day in, day out. Once they left that field, they never took it off, and it was expected by the country, because they had their own scare of the MERS a few years back, and they learned from it. I'm hoping we're learning from this now, and I'm hoping that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, and the players take initiative now, set a standard of wearing the mask all the time, not just when they are on and off the field, but all the time.
Best practices are, and we've seen this, you mentioned Korea. South Korea handled this extremely well. Immediately, there were tests available all over the place. Social distancing. I mean, the pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu. And by the way, when this topic is broached on this show, I hear sometimes from people on social media, oh, you're not a doctor. It's the most idiotic statement that could be made when discussing something like this. The credible sources, and yes, you have to know how to vet credible sources and what is high quality information, be able to distinguish between that and low quality information. But information, high quality information about this virus so far, what is known so far, is readily available. It does not take a medical degree to discuss this stuff. And so this is you're able to do it without a medical degree. Oh, you're not a doctor. You shouldn't be talking about this. Untrue. Not that hard. I'm sorry, Freddie. I know you wanted to say something.
No, I was going to agree with you, Max, from the standpoint. I love when I hear that from people. You're not a doctor. Well, neither the hell are you. How can you tell somebody that they're not a doctor when you're not a doctor? Now, if a medical professional is telling us this and refuting anything that we're going to say when we receive the information, that's one thing. And I get it. The average Joe and Josephine, they're going to have an opinion just like we're going to. But don't use that to start your opinion that you're not a doctor. Well, unless you got Dr. MD next to your name, then why should we pay attention to what you have to say to refute what we're trying to say when it comes to our opinion? So when I hear stuff like that, it makes me laugh out loud, because there's so many pseudo-doctors, so many Twitter professionals right out there that have never been in a doctor's office outside of getting a checkup, and who'd say they're going to do that? So when I hear that foolishness, Max, when people throw that at you or Eduardo at me, I laugh out loud, because I don't see a medical degree next to their Twitter handle anyway either.
You know what
neither
my major concern is?
In public policy, Eduardo. Oh, sorry. Go. I just wanted. Neither do we have degrees in public policy, and yet you don't need that to understand South Korea handled this very well,
right,
and we did not. We handled it disastrously. What I brought up earlier about the pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu, the so-called Spanish flu, was the lessons taken from that were you have to shut down early, right? That helps. And then your patience in terms of the duration of the shutdown is necessary in order to flatten and then crush the curve in the absence of a vaccination. That's what South Korea did. And so their baseball culture may be an extension of the broader culture there, where they showed much greater wisdom, as you mentioned, Eduardo. They've had experience with pandemic and showed greater wisdom and patience and discipline than we've shown so far. Yeah. And that probably extends to our sports leagues.
Yeah, Max, but the difference is this. That happened 102 years ago, and none of us were around for that, and that's the problem. None of us lived through this. In South Korea, they lived through it. They had their protocol, and they knew exactly what to do because of the fear that they had 3 years back. I mean, it is something that they took serious. They were aggressive with it. They knew what they had to do. They had testing available, and they were aggressive, and the people listened. This wasn't a political matter. It was a life or death matter in South Korea. As far as baseball, and let's not forget, my major interest here in all this is this. The players, are they going to be fine? Hopefully, because they're young and healthy. But you're dealing with the trainers. You're dealing with the clubhouse staff. You're dealing with a traveling secretary and the front office staff that is in there 24/7 with those guys to make sure that they are taken care of. They also have to be looked after. And it's the forgotten people that are around the baseball atmosphere that test positive and we don't hear about, but I do care about, because eventually those are the ones that have and run this whole institution of Major League Baseball. Those guys also have to be taken care of. They're in the planes with them. So the players have to have accountability. They have to look after each other. The leaders of the team have to not ask, but tell the young players what to do in this situation. And if it's don't take your mask off, I don't want to see your face. What I want to see is your ability on the field. Then so be it. Let's get it done. But let's do it right. It's everyone or no one at all in order for this thing to work.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Remember, you can hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Again, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now, obviously, we're asking you guys what NFL team can least afford to have a star player opt out. That's on the news of so many opt-outs. But Major League Baseball is trying to figure this out right now, real time, and I want to get some expertise on it. So we'll head over to the aforementioned Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we're joined by USA Today Major League Baseball columnist Bob Nightingale. Bob, thanks for the time, man. I hope you and yours are safe. So give me sort of a sense of where Major League Baseball is right now as they try and figure out what to do moving forward with the Marlins.
Well, yeah, right now the Marlins, of course, are not playing again tonight. What the Pirates have them do is just bus over to Baltimore, play the two games there. And then they play the Washington Nationals in Miami. The national players voted not to go, but it's MLB's decision. And I think MLB will tell them, hey, you got to go. I don't think they want to set the precedent where teams say, I don't want to go to a hot spot, which Florida is. You know, if that's the case, you know, teams can say, well, I don't want to go to Arizona or Texas or California. So we'll see what happens. This might be up to the Marlins to see whether they want to stay put or actually go back home to Miami and play those games.
Bob, it's been so contentious getting to the point that we actually got baseball between the owners and the Players Association. So knowing that the owners of Major League Baseball can't simply force the games to be played, how will the players' reaction, in your mind, react to that? I think we lost Bob there. I can't hear Bob. We'll get Bob back. And I think it's a curious part of what I'm really looking at with this, because again, the Nationals team voted and decided that they don't want to play. They don't want to go down to Miami. They don't feel comfortable going down to play the Marlins. So the question is now what, because Major League Baseball can force those games to be played. So if they're going to force the games to be played, how will that handle the relationship between players and teams? Because realistically, this is supposedly, as David Price tweeted yesterday, always about health and safety for players. That's at the most important part of the conversation. So, again, I'll ask Bob Nightingale, who's back with us, USA Today Major League Baseball columnist, if the players are forced to play by the owners, how will they react to that?
Well, I mean, I would think Major League Baseball would tell the Washington Nationals, hey, you got to go to Miami. You know, it's like, it's not fair for the, you know, the Marlins to stay on the road the whole time. Yes, Miami is a hot spot. I mean, state of Florida is. But they don't want to set a precedent either. I mean, the players sign up for this as well. You know, if that's the case, then players can say, well, I don't want to go to California. I don't want to go to Texas or Arizona. You know, all hot spots. So, you know, if that was the case, you can't play the season. So I would think as long as the Marlins want to go back to Miami, that they'd have to play those games this weekend. They really will. The players can always opt out, too. I mean, that's not, you know, optimal for anybody, but everybody has that right.
Well, and Bob, with that being said, one of the things that we had all eyes on was roster expansion. I mean, having 60 players available at your disposal, I think, was really meant to sort of alleviate some of these things. So where did Major League Baseball's plan go wrong that we're having to deal with these postponements or possible cancellations?
Well, I'm not sure it went wrong. I mean, obviously, you don't want a team be badly infected like the Marlins with 15 players. But, you know what happened? Was it because they weren't social distancing on the bench that day when it was a rain delay? Did players go out in Atlanta when they were there? We don't know. There's all kinds of theories out there. You know, baseball is saying, hey, you got to follow these protocols or this is going to happen. If a couple teams do this, we're going to have to shut down the game for a while, if not the season. And you wonder if it had happened to a big market team, if it happened to a team like the Yankees or Dodgers or Cubs, you know, would we still be playing right now?
I mean, with that being said, could you see a world where Major League Baseball essentially comes in and says, hey, we're going to continue the season, but it will be without the Marlins?
I can't, just because it's, you know, I guess you go by winning percentage or something like that. It's possible. But I don't see that. I mean, that was the purpose of a whole 60-man squad with a 30-man taxi squad. And, you can still add players. If people test positive, you can add, 70 players, 80 players. So this was the purpose of it. The problem, of course, is if the Marlins aren't competitive at all, that's a huge, disadvantage to everybody in the National League that, that doesn't have a chance to play the Marlins, particularly, with the wild cards.
So, Bob, what with everything going on, what has it done to your confidence level that we'll actually get through an entire season?
I think the big test is this week and next 10 days. I thought that all along that, hey, during spring training, with just a half of 1%, that guys testing positive, that's great. I never saw that coming. But the real test is once the season started, once guys start traveling, different planes and, buses and everything else, hotels, then what happens? So right now, we saw, one team at badly affected, impacting the game. So as long as baseball can get through this next week or 10 days, then I'm optimistic they can pull this off.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. You can also read him on USA Today. Bob, I appreciate your time and your insight so much. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thanks for the expertise.
Sure. My pleasure. Thank you.
And, it's interesting to me because I said it yesterday. I mean, there is some level of the tests are working, right? Part of the reason that you're constantly testing is you're looking to figure out what to do with outbreaks. But what do you do when the outbreaks are so massive? And realistically, this is part of why I think so many people are cautious when they're watching baseball. It's hard to just step back and say, okay, I can see how this is all going to work out. It's hard to just appreciate the moment because we're all trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Now, this affects every league as the NFL is trying to figure out what to do, how to handle their star players that are deciding to opt out. Some pieces of information you need to know about players that are opting out in the NFL. Players that are opting out are essentially having their contracts paused. So if a guy's in his last year, then his last year would roll over to next year. His money gets paused, so it will still hit the books next year. It's simply the essentially it's like pressing pause on Madden and walking away, and you're going to come back. And there's been some big names, Dante Hightower, Marquise Goodwin, Patrick Chung. You're talking about at this point six different players for the Seahawks, and that's why we've asked you which NFL, or sorry, not for the Seahawks, for the Patriots, my misspeak. That's why we're asking you which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out. Who is out there that you don't think an NFL team can handle having to opt out? And again, I want to say this. Opting out is at its very core a human decision for the athletes that are doing it. I see all the tweets out right now and all the conversation happening about the conspiracy theory that this is exactly what the Patriots wanted so they could create cap space or so that they could get themselves in the Trevor Lawrence conversation. Like, these are real people, human beings that have decided to press pause on their life and their money for a year. It's difficult for me to see any conspiracy theory or any sort of option here that doesn't belittle what human beings are deciding to do. Athletes are still humans. And just because they decide that they don't want to play doesn't mean that there's some greater conspiracy theory. It doesn't mean that there's something being worked behind the scenes. It also doesn't mean that they're bad people because they've had so much success they can go a year and not make any money. I mean, I have to squish all of this, but I don't want to squish your take. I want you guys to tell me which NFL team you think can least afford their star player opting out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. When we come back, we'll let you guys take over. We'll get some of your take coming in as we get your take on who cannot afford to opt out. NFL players across the league continue to opt out of the 2020 season, and it has us wondering, what NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? Who, if they opt out, would absolutely crush the season for that team? We want your take on our 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Some of the big names so far that we've seen, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, both for the Patriots have opted out. The Patriots at this point have had six players opt out. So you're looking at huge ramifications to the team on the field, remembering that they're limiting the number of bodies that are going to be allowed in training camp. And then once we get into the season, the rosters are expected to be expanded. But how far will they be expanded? So already you're testing the depth of some organizations. And when you start to look at what Major League Baseball is dealing with and you start to think about how that could play into the NFL concept, then you have to look at it and say depth is going to be even more tested. That's why I continue to tell you guys, your front office matters as much, if not more, than has ever mattered in the past. And they matter as much, if not more, than any of the players that are on the field. Their ability to keep their Rolodex stocked with players that can come in on a moment's notice and win games is going to be key. Depth matters more than ever. So we'll get some thoughts from you guys in just a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But I'll flip this question over to our ESPN NFL analyst joining us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Dan Orlovsky joins us there. Dan, hope you and yours are safe, my friend. First and foremost, that's the most important thing. Thanks for taking the time to join us. I'm asking everybody which NFL team can least afford for their star player to opt out. I know I haven't prepped you on this question, but off the top of your head, who do you look at and say, oh my God, if they opt out, the season would just be lost for that team?
Yeah, great to be with you, bud. Let's take the quarterbacks out of play, right? Because I'm assuming that all 32, or at least the super impactful ones, that top 16 of them are going to play. So then you look at the guys that are more dependent, let's say offensively, more dependent on a singular superstar. Michael Thomas for the Saints. Like, they don't have that number two wide receiver. Emmanuel Sanders is good, but he's not a dominant number two wide receiver. If you look at somebody like the Philadelphia Eagles and Zach Ertz, if Zach Ertz were for some reason to opt out, they don't have somebody else that is a proven playmaker on that offense. These are bona fide Super Bowl teams. The Buccaneers, they can afford, like, if Mike Evans doesn't play, Godwin is very good. I'd say somebody like Hollywood Brown for the Baltimore Ravens, just because of his speed down the field. Kansas City, they can afford somebody. They truly can afford someone because they have so many weapons. And then defensively, you'd have to look at teams, again, that have Super Bowl aspirations, like an Aaron Donald, such a great player. I mean, there's teams that have wiggle room, and then there's teams that go, wait, that guy is way too important to our team. And it's probably those teams that have Super Bowl aspirations that aren't really diversified with their talent overall.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. Love that answer, by the way, Dan, of course. And, you know, with all this opt-out conversation, my mind goes to talking to guys like yourself that used to play, and how at the end of your career, it's so difficult to realize that you're not a part of that team or you're not around that environment anymore. When you start talking about pressing pause on a contract for a player, how much does the mentality of simply not being around the locker room of the game play into the way athletes can factor into these conversations?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the scariest part of the transition is not being a part of that. I mean, most of us have been a part of that aspect since we were 6, 7, 8 years old. And that's really all we know as adults, not that, like, an intelligence level wise, but just as a way of life, almost our everyday life. And we spend more time in our locker room with our teammates than we do with our families as professional athletes. So they become our families. And so, you know, when you're weighing this, you know, decision, you know, I think that there's a lot of angles to be understood. Like, some of the guys, and I thought Lewis Riddick phrased this really well this morning on Get Up. Some guys might sit there and go, I don't have the self-discipline to shut my life down like it's going to be necessary to play this NFL season. And what I mean by that is, listen, if you're going to play this season, you can't go to the club and have your escape. And you can't go to the parties to have your escape. And you can't go bowling to have your escape. Like, that is not something that you can do. And if you're not one of those guys, if you're not one of those guys that's willing to remove yourself from that, or if you look at it and go, I don't want to jeopardize my teammates and their health because I got a buddy who, my best friend on the team's got a wife who's got some health complications, or a father who has some health complications, there might be some guys that take the step back and go, wait, I don't know if I could be selfless enough to do that. And so, you know, it's a family-like atmosphere, and that is such a bond in the locker room. And I think what we're seeing is some guys will opt out for personal choice, absolutely, and some guys will just take a step back and go, I'm not ready to do all that is going to be asked of me this season in relation to my teammates.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. So, you know, I know obviously you're not in a locker room dealing with this today, but if you were, if you're sitting in a locker room and somebody opts out and you're a team that feels like you had a real shot at a Super Bowl, how does that affect your relationship with the guy?
Yeah, listen, it would stink, right? Like, as a competitor, I want to be honest here. It would stink. But what I would say is going to be paramount is there needs to be tremendous leadership, both from our owner down to our general manager, down to our head coach, down to the leaders of the team, and that we are all understanding that we will respect everybody's choice and that we will be there and support everybody's choice, whether they want in or they want out. This is a very individualized thing. You can make your own choice. And I'd still love the guy. Do I wish he would be playing because the competitive aspect is there? No doubt. But I'm also, you have to be aware enough and gracious enough to go, I have a ton of respect for you making this very difficult decision. I know how much this team and competing means to you. But that has to, this is something that I'm going to pay attention to over the next couple of days, is what teams and owners are going to come out and go, we support this guy. You know, like, yeah, we want him to play, but we completely understand where he's coming from, and we applaud it, and we support him. And that's the way that everybody in that locker room, this can't be a, man, this guy is soft thing. That's not the case. Or he let us down. That is not the case. These guys are making decisions, difficult ones, that they feel are best for their them and their families, and they need to be applauded in many ways and supported.
So with that being said, and everything you're saying makes so much sense, it feels like for New England particularly, that's now had at least six players we know at this point that are not opting out, including Hightower and Chung. If there was still Brady there, it feels like this is a much easier question. But there isn't that quarterback that's been in the room that is necessarily known to be the leader. So at some point, is Belichick enough, or is there a player that has to step in and also play that role for the locker room?
Yeah, Belichick's enough. I mean, he's been enough for two decades. But certainly, you know, listen, the McCourty brothers are outstanding leaders. They still have a guy like Julian Edelman, outstanding leader. Andrews, their center, great leaders. These guys can still be leaders that are going to be there for their football team. And, you know, I think, Jason, I'd say this, and this is something that I probably have come to grips with over the last 3 hours. This season is not about the best team. It really isn't. This season is about, can they pull it off? And, it's, you know, we get paid as analysts to figure out who's doing what really well and who's going to be the best. And right now, this is about who's going to be able to pull this off and who's going to handle it the best rather than who's the best X's and O's team. And so, you know, I'd say that's another example of where New England, where they have Bill Belichick, and they have some guys who are experienced leaders in the NFL, will certainly benefit from.
Well, that's a great point, Dan. So stick there for a second, because you're mentioning it's who can pull it off. So in your mind, who are we maybe not looking at this season that you think, just because of the circumstances, the leadership they have, their ability to pull off living in this pandemic, who can rise that we're not paying attention to?
That's a great question. You know, I think that if you look at teams that, you know, like in areas that will have maybe handling things a little bit better, you know, maybe the New York Giants. Like, maybe the New York Giants that have, you know, a head coach that, you know, has been a part of an organization that has handled distraction well, right? Joe Judge comes over from New England, and he's been a part of handling distraction well. And I don't want to minimize the coronavirus. Obviously, I'm aware of how extreme it is. But in some ways, it is a distraction to our life, right? And he's been a part of how to handle it well. And they've got some younger players. New York City as a whole, the metropolitan area, is doing somewhat healthier than some of the other hotspots right now in America. And maybe some of their younger players will be able to handle that a little bit because it's just forge ahead. Some of these younger players aren't married and don't have families and don't have children that they've got to weigh that decision on. You know, there's single guys that live by themselves. And so that might make it a little bit easier for them to just plow ahead and not have some of the exterior stress on their mind that guys that, you know, may have a little bit more age to them, families, wives, children that have to kind of balance all of that.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7. As always, great stuff, my friend. I appreciate you giving us the time. I hope you and yours are safe. Be well, and thanks for joining us.
You too, buddy.
Dan Orlovsky, and look, he's making a great point. I mean, when you start to think about the way we analyze the season coming into it, we always try and look at, well, who's got the most talent, who's the best with X's and O's, what coaches are capable of doing that. But you do have to look at it at some point and say, hey, this season's going to be about different things. It's about different types of accountability. It's about different decision-making processes. It's about different abilities to sort of lead and different abilities to get people to do things that they normally haven't been asked to do. Who's got the relationships within the building? Who's got the ability to get players to buy in, to make sacrifices they don't usually have to make? I think it's an incredible point. And when you start to look across the board, it has to factor into what teams we might not be talking about. It's not just about teams with consistency. I do believe that having the same coach, GM, quarterback system in place is a benefit. It's also about a team that has some sort of system within and culture within the locker room that will allow the players to be held to a different standard. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. Gets you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to take your calls on this. Which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out? A lot of you guys want to chime in, so we'll let you do that next. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your take takes over first. Take your take next. First take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz, but right now you can call me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Got into it yesterday with a few people on Twitter that want to have these big arguments back and forth on Twitter. The phone lines are open for you. We can do it that way. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're asking you which NFL team can least afford their star player opting out. Got a lot of different opinions on this, so let's have your take over a little bit here. Eddie in Wisconsin. Eddie, what you got?
Well, I was going to, I guess, list the quarterback. I was going to say Aaron Rodgers initially, but Orlovsky brought up a good point. You take a quarterback out of most of these teams, then they're done. So I'll look at my favorite team. I'm a Niners fan. You take out Jimmy Garoppolo, there's an argument to be made that their backup, Nick Mullins, could probably do a lot of the same things that he could do. I would say George Kittle. Take George Kittle out of that team. I watched them try to play last year without George Kittle, and they didn't have a whole lot of success in the run game or the pass game. Because he's an all-around superstar. He does everything for that offense.
Eddie, I love the take. You're not wrong. I mean, you did. I think you're underselling a little bit of Jimmy G, personally. But Aaron Rodgers, obviously, if he was out, would have tremendous impact to the Packers. We know that. You can look across the board and see that. I love the Kittle call, though. That's different. That's a little off the beaten path. I'm all in for it. Charles from California. Charles, what you got, man? What's your take?
My take is that none of them are going to be missed, because if they're not living, it doesn't make a difference. And I'm a former player in the league that has played in the league for over 10 years with a chip. And I got a son that's playing right now that's going to be coming out on that list along with Devontae and other guys that opted out of the contract. This year is crazy, man. You cannot put players at risk, but there's something that you don't know about. As far as guys that you're talking about who's going to hurt but not playing, it's going to suffer for everybody if nobody's living. Adam Morton and Chris, I can't wait to see these guys in Miami to tell them face to face. This is a disarray, just like the country with Trump. How are you going to put people, whether they're baseball players, dart throwers, at risk in a bubble, and you can't guarantee my health or my life? I got a point right now where me and my son are going over with an attorney. You're opening up the door for real lawsuits, because if my son or somebody dies of a magnitude, whether he's not a high-profile player, now you got major problems. Instead of sitting down, finding out what's causing this, taking more precautions, not a protocol of testing, that's not going to tell anything. You're still going to have a major problem. Bottom line, this man, this country is upside down right now. Sports is not going to get it done. Bottom line, these owners, these general managers need to sit down, shut it down, regardless of the money. The game is going to be played. If anybody is still dying or what have you, it's going to be, as the business, as the owner says, it's business as usual. That's a disgrace to me.
Charles, thanks for your take, man. I'm sorry, I got to cut you off, but there is part of me, though, that, I mean, at the end of the day, NFL teams are still businesses. So, you know, at this point, as a business, they're trying to function. They're trying to find a way to make some income. I mean, having spent a lot of my time in two different spots, Connecticut and Tennessee and Nashville, you know, Nashville, there are restaurants open all over the place. There are a lot of limitations on it. It might not be the best experience, but they're open. Why are they open? Because they're trying to find a way to make some money, because some is better than none. So then the employees can decide what they're comfortable with. And there aren't a lot of people right now that can simply decide not to go to work. Ultimately, if the NFL wants to try and play games, but they're going to allow players to decide that they can opt out and press pause on their contract, I mean, they're still small businesses. I mean, they're large businesses. We know that. But they're still businesses that are coming in and trying to find a way to make money. So I can't fault the teams for trying to find a way to play games, because just like every other business, they're trying to protect their bottom line. Question is, whose fault is it that Major League Baseball's return was not in a bubble? You'll hear what First Take thought about that next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.